Hello, everybody. My name is Justice Waters from the Free State of Indiana. We got a lot of things to do tonight and cover. The whole call itself may go for about an hour and a half. I just want to warn everybody. We got some people that's going to speak besides me, and we have one individual swear in before we get started. So just let me say that tonight, it is October the 13th, a Sunday. A lot of things are happening in the world right now that we need to kind of keep our eyes on, not because of in fear, but because of things that God is doing that's going to benefit us as a republic. The BRICS nations are taking down the cabal in their money scheme. That is one of the things that we're going to discuss tonight. The other thing is, be prepared, because the way it's looking, before this month is out, before November, there may be a lot of things happening in our nation as well as the world that's going to change everything that we know. That's the purpose of the quantum financial system. When you bring down the money system of a nation, you bring down the government. All governments at one time were based on the way we were with the Federal Reserve. And when it goes down, our government, the Biden administration, is done. They're gone. Right now, your dollar from the Federal Reserve note that promised to pay is only worth 4 cents. Every week it seems to go down another half of a cent. And that's because they keep printing it up, they keep mailing it out to other countries, except North Carolina and Florida. They don't send them much money, but they do house all the illegals. Yes, Kamala, I say illegals. So tonight, be prepared, because we're going to talk about the Rothschilds family, the history of it, where it came from, how it influenced governments around the world way back in the early 1700s in Germany. So what I would like for everybody to do is, if you have a piece of paper and a pen or a pencil, I'd like for you to take some notes. I want you to act like you're on a grand jury and you're hearing this evidence for the first time. As a judge, you're going to have to know exactly how the grand jury works and how it operates and the things that it can do and the things that it cannot do. Tonight, you will get a demonstration of how jury members on a grand jury will listen, and then they can ask questions after the evidence is presented. And the prosecution is there. The defendant is not. It's really no lawyers present. It's just the district attorney giving the information to the grand jury, and the grand jury then has to decide whether or not there is enough evidence in the case to actually send it to court. Thus, a true bill is then formed, or a no bill, that they couldn't find enough evidence. So tonight I want you to be the grand jury, and I want you to find out in your minds and in your hearts if the evidence that's presented to you is enough to send this to court. Now, I think we all know the answer to that. And some of the information you're going to hear tonight, you probably may already know. But as I was putting this together a couple weeks ago, it started out with 3 pages on Word and wound up being approximately 22, 23 pages. And it became so large that I realize we may not make it through one night unless I had some help. So I got a couple of people who are also going to speak, and they are going to present some of the evidence to you. Before we get that started, if Steve Sandstrom would unmute yourself, or Mark, maybe you can unmute him.
He's unmuted, sir.
I'm here.
Thank you. Okay. Mark, would you open us up in prayer, please?
Yes, sir. It would be an honor and a privilege. Father of all creation, of the universe and everything it contains, please hear our prayer. Thank you for all who are occupying the church and all who are watchmen warning the people when danger approaches, as our Lord and Savior asked us to do. Thank you for those patriots that stand up for the unalienable rights that you endowed us with and that our foundational documents make clear to us. Thank you for the Word and the Word made flesh that walked among us and took away the sins of the world. Father, our Lord and Savior put Satan in his place by saying, quote, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God, end quote. And so unequivocally it does, because in this day and age, it seems that everything that's not the Word of God is a half-truth or a lie of one degree or another. So be with us, Father, and put your words in our mouth so that we do your will and communicate effectively to those who have us fellowship with, that we may unite with one purpose through the Holy Spirit and be of one heart to unite our brethren to the cause of liberty today and kingdomship tomorrow as this age draws ever closer to the millennial start. We are in the 11th hour and are called to your temple to serve and proclaim the Word of God and the Republic you call us to re-inhabit. So send all needful provisions to continue on as you call each of us to do, Father. Cover us with the blood of Yeshua and wash away our sins, sickness, and sorrow as needed, Father. Cover us, our family, and our friends with the dome protection the enemy cannot penetrate through. And bless those who have given up much today to receive awesome reward in the near future and beyond. Deliver us from evil, Father, for thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever and ever. In the mighty name of Yeshua we pray, in agreement of your will. Thank you, Father. Amen.
Amen. Thank you.
Yes, sir.
Well, Steve, you ready to do this?
Yes, sir. Let's do it.
Okay. First, I want to let you know that you're required to have one witness while we do this. You have 115, so you're good to go.
Good.
So, I need to ask you, do you want to use the word swear or affirm?
Affirm.
Okay. So I'll say I, you repeat I, then your name, and then we'll go on.
Okay.
Here we go.
I. Steve Sandborn.
Do solemnly affirm. That I will support and defend the Constitution.
That I will support and defend the Constitution.
For the United States.
For the United States.
Against all enemies.
Against all enemies.
Foreign and domestic.
Foreign and domestic.
That I will bear true faith.
That I will bear true faith.
And allegiance to the same.
And allegiance to the same.
That I take this obligation freely.
That I take this obligation freely.
Without any mental reservation.
Without any mental reservation.
Or purpose of evasion.
Or purpose of evasion.
And that I will well and faithfully.
That I will well and faithfully.
Discharge the duties.
Discharge the duties.
Of the office on which I am about to enter.
Of the office on which I'm about to enter.
So help me God.
So help me God.
Thank you, sir, and congratulations for stepping up.
Thank you very much.
Steve, it's been a pleasure to swear you in, and thank you for stepping up and wanting to change things. We all have been in that position. That's why we're all here. And I look forward to working with you in the days and months ahead.
Yep, same to all of you.
So thank you, sir, and now you're official. That's all I can say. You're just like us.
Amen. Awesome.
Okay. One of the other things that I want to mention here is we in the Republic from the very beginning, and really starting in about 07, when Tim Turner was working with FEMA, and he worked with FEMA down in Florida, he realized things weren't right, and FEMA was asking him to do things that were unconstitutional as well as immoral. And one of the things that he told me that caused him to walk away from FEMA was they wanted him to come up with some kind of plan in case everything did go south in the country, that they could either control major cities such as Chicago, Dallas, LA, New York, and how they could do that and still maintain authority. And they wanted him to come up with a plan to where they could fence off all the cities, and then they wanted the gangs inside those cities to have full and complete power over the people, all over the citizenry. And of course, that meant that they would probably kill 30 to 50% of those people for the goods that they had, and the rest would die of starvation or whatever. And he refused to do that, so he stepped out of that, and he began to do things on YouTube on how the government was taken over, how in 1871, the Illuminati had something to do with it, and yes, the Illuminati was in full force back in those days. And that turned out to be how the government, through the Federal Reserve System, controlled not only you, your parents and grandparents, starting in 1913, but controlled whole governments. And this is the problem that we have today. Governments are not operated by the citizenry anymore. The governments are operated and controlled by one family, the Rothschilds. And tonight you're going to hear the evidence of how that operates and how that works. You're going to hear some stuff that you may never have ever heard before, because I know I didn't until a couple weeks ago. So, before we get started on that, Governor Carpenter, you have something you want to talk about. The floor is yours, sir.
Thank you, sir. Would you unmute Governor Niles, Lewis Niles, from the great state of New Hampshire?
I'll find him.
I don't know what his number is. Do you have that, Mark?
I'm looking for him. You take me a minute here.
The last four is 5504.
That helps.
Area code 603.
Oh, okay.
I got him.
Very good. Are you with us, Lewis?
He's unmuted. He might be muted on his end.
Hello?
There you go.
Oh, good. Okay.
Okay. You got to be smarter than what you're messing with, I guess.
Thank you for joining us, Governor Niles.
You're welcome. My pleasure.
It's such a privilege and an honor because God chose me. And I'm not bragging. I'm just stating the facts. And you wonder why you're here, folks. Well, let this just be a seed for you. So about 72 hours ago, I was walking around and the Holy Spirit went, psst. And I've heard that before, and he said, hey, you need to listen up. You got all the tools here to make an impact. So I went to work, and here we are 72 hours later. My pastor, after receiving the news of what I was up to, took a donation from the pulpit this morning in behalf of our project. We've established secure facilities to complete the task and get it to the people through local churches and church or contacts through local governors and even down in, I do believe, to some of the county clerk levels. And so this is going to be an opportunity for us to make a big statement. In this digging process, the first person I spoke with was Governor Niles, because I have the privilege and honor of meeting so many of you people personally through phone calls and conversations and the vetting process. And because of that opportunity, I was made aware of what Governor Niles has brought to the table. So, in short, we're going to be able to provide clean, safe, potable drinking water at the rate of 10,000 gallons a day, even if it's raw sewage, to these people in these distressed areas. Governor Niles, you tell us a little bit about what we're up to?
Sure. A little bit of background first. My organization is called Hopestone Christian Ministries Trust. And the purpose of Hopestone is to bring hope where otherwise none might exist. I was fortunate enough many years ago to have come in contact with a very peculiar kind of material. Some of you may have heard of it. Some of you may have actually used it before in different ways. There's a volcanic mineral out there known as clinoptilolite zeolite, which is a really unique material in the sense that through two methods of operation, one being size exclusion, the other being ionic exchange, we're able to take water, almost any condition, and through a series of specialized filters, this material that I've been able to optimize, we can provide pure drinking water to all of these people. And my proposition to Governor Carpenter was that, and I shared some documentation with him that is a complete disclosure and description of the unit, the material that's in it, how it works. And he's agreed to help to spread the word through his personal relationships and his professional relationships to make this technology available to the people of not only North Carolina and Florida, but really anywhere where it's needed. The material has the unique ability to remove toxic heavy metals, biology, giardia, cryptosporidium, all those kinds of things, cysts, PCBs, PVC, VOC, the list goes on and on, PFOA, the perfluoroalkyl substances, so on. We're able to filter water down into the parts per trillion, which is something that activated charcoal and other types of conventional technology just simply can't do. So there's the windup and the pitch. Governor Carpenter, do you want to take it from here and let them know what the rest of the plan is, how it affects the Republic?
Thank you, sir. So I've spent these 72 hours contacting people like Justice Waters and E.G. Turner, President Geiger, Secretary of Treasury Kelby Smith, Secretary of Commerce Zuluaga, and pulled a lot of people together, and we decided to make a launch, and I guess it's official because we now have a donation from our church. The pastor opened up his Bible, and there's a stack of checks and money in there. So I guess we're going to get our first unit order here pretty quickly. We need $100,000 for a truckload of 26, and that's shipped to the destination, and then they'll be dispersed from that destination. Lewis currently has the availability to put together 8 of these units while he's in the process of retrieving more materials and baskets and stuff in order to accomplish the mission. So right now, things are rolling. We plant seeds. God brings in the harvest. We can go to our Republic donation page and donate there and footnote at water or humanitarian. And that will be taken in. Those units will be ordered as the funds come in. So I think this is a great opportunity. The tanks, I've already ordered the letterings, going to have property of the Republic for the United States of America. It's going to have one of our flags with a website on it, and it's going to have some return information because they are reusable. So this is going to be quite a statement to everyone that is involved in this process. I yield. Thank you, Roger.
Thank you, Governor. You know, I'm sitting here listening to him talk, and the thought came to me, if we truly are God's people in this republic, and this is truly something God wants us to do, then wouldn't it be necessary to have the funds to be able to do that? The thing is, a lot of people on this call don't have the funds to help out on something like that, unless God finds a way for us to have those funds. We've got things already in the process of being worked out, not from within the Republic, but we know it as the quantum system. Wouldn't it be interesting if it turned out that God gave you that particular thought when he did 72 hours ago, because he's getting ready to disperse and change everything on our nation to where the people will have money to invest in things like this?
Well, that's absolutely true, Roger. But yet, here's an opportunity. How many times do you hear people say, oh, I wish I could do something to help those people, really know that my gift counts? Well, here we got the originator, the manufacturer that owns all the goodies, and he's given it at rock bottom prices just to barely to pay the freight and keep the lights on to be able to participate in this. And it doesn't get any closer to 100% going to the people from the donations, then this is it. This is it, you know. So
yeah.
You hear people want to donate and make a difference and know the funds are going to get there. Well, they don't have to be members of the Republic. My church just took up a donation.
Yeah. Well, you know, when you called me the other day, what was it, yesterday? And we talked, you know, it really sent shivers up my spine because I could sense, just by you telling me all about this, this was a God thing. And, of course, it's for people. It's for humanity. And that's what we are supposed to do in the first place, is take care of each other. The Bible tells us in many ways, in many places, that you don't have to be a believer to get help from a believer. We as believers are supposed to help everybody. That's how you get their attention. That's how they come into the presence of the Lord. So this is not just a huge opportunity. I think, myself, this is one of those opportunities that will change an entire nation. And it's done by the people. So thank you for that, Governor, and appreciate you explaining that to everybody. And yes, if you do have a way to donate, now would be the time to do it. I would say in the next couple of days to help this, you know, along. And then when other things do transpire, we all can help in a degree in bigger ways. Because those people in North Carolina, they are really hurting. I heard by other reports that there are some people that have yet to even been gotten to. And you know, the thing through history is you start drinking your own urine just to get fluid in your system. And, of course, that's poisonous. So, you know, these are the things that we have to think about. We've got brothers and sisters that do believe in that as well as non-believers.
Well, not only that, Roger, Florida is decimated. Not only that, Florida is decimated. I spoke to a contact through Governor Bishop down there that has a big Christian retreat and outreach there in the just 20 miles out of Tampa. They released the sewage into the groundwater 2 days before the hurricane hit. And they're walking around in sewage. Their animals are walking around in sewage. The infection and stuff that's happening from that is terrible. And, you know, everybody's concentrating on North Carolina. And we're looking at a big spectrum here, folks, that we can go in and do a lot for. And I got to tell you, and not to heat up the call, but this is important. Because we all got to live to fight another day. Through jen-lock.com, Lewis's website, you can go in there. There's a phone number. You can contact Jen. And Lewis has some nutritional supplements. And I've been on them 30 days, and it's changed my life. And they will benefit everyone. I'm 72 years old, and I've been plagued with a digestion problem that's almost incapacitated me for over 15 years, including a burst colon. And in 30 days on this product, my system has totally changed. And this is going to benefit everybody, even the children up around Chernobyl with radioactive problems in their water and stuff. This is a miracle product sent by God. And we in the Republic get to really make the first impact with it because it's been suppressed technologies. It's all been out there. You just could never get a voice and an application that would, because everybody wanted to step on him and keep him down. So here's our opportunity, and God's provided everything and will continue to provide everything. So glory be to God. Thank you, Roger. I yield.
Thank you, sir. Okay. Is Mel, let's see here.
I got Dan Krieger. I got Justice Krieger unmuted right now. I'm looking for Melanie.
Okay. Well, her number is down in 573 area code.
Okay.
Ends in 0584.
Okay.
Go ahead and we'll let Justice Krieger talk. Dan, you have the floor, sir.
Good evening, everyone. I just wanted to run through a few things. I've said it before, and I just felt in my heart that I should say it again. When I was about, maybe 13, 14 years old, I was talking to my dad. We were out working. I don't forgot what we were doing, but we were talking about the city government, and the conversation went back and forth and a couple of times, and my dad stopped and he looked at me and he said, "You know, you can't stop City Hall." And for some reason, that really struck me. I thought, why not? if they're doing something wrong, make it right. Now, you got to remember, I was 13, 14 years old then. And with that mentality, I can see that mentality today throughout this land. You know, the people that, well, nothing we can do. Well, sure there is. Let me get my thoughts here. I was thinking about, I'll talk about the voting. How many on this call, when you go in to vote, you go in, you do what you want to do, and you get out? I wonder that how many people, when they vote, do they go back home? But when they go back home, they make sure that whoever they voted for is doing the right thing. I don't think that's very many. We need to get our elected officials accountable, in which I really believe that this republic is going to do that. But the way things are going right now, it's going to be pretty tight. So anyway, I'll leave it at that right now, and I'll turn it back to you, Justice.
Okay. Well, thank you, sir. Melanie, you have the floor.
Did you say Melanie?
Yes, I did.
Oh, okay. Well, I had everything that I was going to say on my computer, and my computer won't boot up, so I may have to wing it.
Okay.
Let's see if it'll boot up. Oh, it actually might do it this time. We may be in luck. Okay.
Ain't modern technology great?
Yeah, I have a very old computer.
Ah.
And, all right, but it did come on, so let's see if I can find it now. All right. So I was going to talk about Rockefellers. So John David Rockefeller was the son of William Avery Rockefeller, who was a rather shady, immoral bigamist. And he was gone a lot, but he still seemed to have considerable influence on his son, evidently. So one of the things William did was sell health elixirs. I thought that was interesting. And he taught his son to be a shrewd business person. He had a modest income. So John David Rockefeller really was not born wealthy. He actually did accrue his own wealth within his own lifetime. So John David Rockefeller, at an early age, he was very industrious, earned money by raising turkeys and selling candy, doing jobs for neighbors. He did deals with his friends, but always made sure he came out on top. He got his first regular job at age 16. And then in 1863, at the age of 24, he, along with several of his friends, invested in a Cleveland refinery, oil refinery, entering him into the oil business. So the next year, he married Laura Celestia Spellman, who was from Ohio, whose father was a prosperous merchant, politician, and abolitionist, and was active in the Underground Railroad. I found that interesting. So anyway, they had five children. Only one was a son, and then they had four daughters, and one died as a young child. In 1865, he bought out his partners and took over control of the refinery. Over the next few years, he expanded the refinery business. He formed the Standard Oil Company of Ohio, along with his younger brother, William, and some other partners. So John Rockefeller was the president and the largest shareholder. And his son, John David Jr., was also involved in the business. Standard Oil grew. He gained a monopoly in the oil industry by buying rival refineries and developing companies for distributing and marketing its products around the globe. In 82, these various companies were combined into the Standard Oil Trust, which would control some 90% of the nation's refineries and pipelines in order to exploit economies of scale, which is a measure of cost of operation to profit. Standard Oil did everything from build its own oil barrels to employing scientists to figure out new uses for petroleum byproducts. That way he could control all of the costs of his operation and keep them much lower. His enormous wealth and success made him a target of journalists, reform politicians, and others who viewed him as a symbol of corporate greed and criticized the methods with which he had built his empire. As the New York Times reported in 1937, he was accused of crushing out competition, getting rich on rebates from railroads, bribing men to spy on competing companies, of making secret agreements, of coercing rivals to join Standard Oil under threat of being forced out of business, built up enormous fortunes on the ruins of other men, and so on. And 1890, the U.S. Congress passed the Sherman Antitrust Act, which was the first federal legislation prohibiting trusts and combinations that restrained trade. 2 years later, the Ohio Supreme Court dissolved the Standard Oil Trust. However, the businesses within the trust soon became part of Standard Oil in New Jersey, which functioned as a holding company. In 1911, after years of litigation, the U.S. Supreme Court ruled Standard Oil of New Jersey was in violation of antitrust laws and forced it to dismantle. So it was broken up into more than 30 individual companies. So a major reason for his success is a business model that today we call vertical integration, which is the absorption into a single firm of several firms involved in all aspects of the product's manufacture, from raw materials to distribution. So he accumulated all of the companies that his refinery used, basically. That way he could control his cost. In doing this, he made many acquisitions, one of which was Colorado Fuel and Iron Company. So in September of 1913, his workers went on strike. And they were still striking by April of 1914. They couldn't come to any agreements. The workers had set up tent camps at the mine and refused to leave until their grievances were met. Angers flared, negotiations went south, and the Rockefellers ordered the workers to evict. The Rockefeller interest hired private detectives that attacked the tent colonies with rifles and Gatling guns. The miners fought back and several were killed. When the tenacity of the strikers were apparent, the Rockefellers approached the governor of Colorado, who authorized the use of the National Guard. So the guardsmen attacked the largest tent colony and barraged it with bullets for like 14 hours. After dusk, they went in and set the tents on fire. Well, they found out that the women and children had taken shelter in pits dug below the tents and were killed by the fires. This became known as the Ludlow Massacre. Several died in this fight, including 11 women and men. The Rockefellers, both junior and senior, were seen as responsible. This incident caused such bad publicity that the Rockefellers turned to philanthropic endeavors to regain their respect and legacies. So they started donating money to various educational, religious, and scientific causes through the Rockefeller Foundation. He funded the establishment of the University of Chicago and the Rockefeller Institute for Medical Research, which is now called the Rockefeller University. In 1910, Rockefeller partnered with Andrew Carnegie, who made his fortune in the steel industry. to radically change the medical system. Up till then, various types of therapies existed that today are called alternatives, yet before were mainstream. These included naturopathy, food-based health, herbalism, chiropractic, homeopathic, and many others. Rockefeller and Carnegie hired a man called Andrew Flexner, who was the founder and director of a progressive college prep school in Louisville. Flexner had issued an appraisal of American educational institutions called the American College, a Criticism, in 1908, that had earned him a Carnegie Foundation commission to survey the quality of the 155 medical colleges in the U.S. and Canada. His report in 1910 had an immediate and sensational impact on American medical education. Many of the colleges that were severely criticized by Flexner closed soon after publication of the report. Others initiated extensive revisions of their policies and curricula. Thus began the standardization of medical education influenced by the Rockefellers, who, being an oil tycoon, steered it toward using medicines that could be derived from petroleum and could be patented to make large profits. Their plan also included the development of a revolutionary curriculum by the Johns Hopkins School of Medicine. They also partnered with the American Medical Association. Its objective claim was to promote the science and art of medicine and the betterment of public health. But did that happen? All of this sounds great, right? One, giving money to help research and educate doctors, having a specialist watch over the industry to surveil the quality of the education and how the industry was doing. And then three, the AMA funded research and published studies to further science. All this sounds good, and it did help with changing public criticism of the Rockefellers. After all, they were giving so much money to help mankind. Superficially, this all looks great, but let's remember Rockefeller's background. This is the same man that created a monopoly using underhanded practices, such as buying up his competitors, running them out of business. His bottom line was all about increasing his own wealth. He also did not care about his employees, as evidence from the Ludlow massacre. Though his son, Jr., did seem to be less brutal in his business practices and more sympathetic to public sentiment, I still would question their motives and intent. Their biggest hurdle was the number of doctors that were practicing holistic medicine at the time. Natural herbal medicines were very popular. Rockefeller himself had said that homeopathy was an aggressive and progressive step in medicine. Rockefeller and Carnegie devised a scheme to not only discredit the natural competition as he had done in the oil business, but to vilify it. So they created a campaign to mock and demonize homeopathy and natural medicines. The Flexner Report was a big part of this. The American Cancer Society was also created in 1913 by none other than John D. Rockefeller. With Flexner as the industry watchdog, villainizing naturopathy, homeopathy, etc., natural doctors were jailed or worse for using certain therapies, many that would even cure cancer. There were reports of over 60 naturopathic suspicious deaths of naturopathic doctors over the years. The Flexner Report and campaigns also caused many of the existing medical schools to go under, and those that remained would switch to teaching about pharmacological medicine through the Rockefeller Foundation's giving of money. Along with the AMA, they gave huge grants to scientists who would research plants, identify the substances in them that work to heal the diseases, and then synthetically recreate something similar in the lab, but not identical, thus giving them medicines to patent and sell. They used their money to influence the direction of research toward these patentable pharmaceuticals rather than natural medicinals. So money talks for sure. In summary, the Rockefeller Foundation funds were able to steer the direction of medicine in several ways. One, by changing and shaping the education of doctors toward pharmaceuticals and away from holistic medicine. By funding and working with the AMA, shape the direction of medical research toward pharmaceuticals away from natural medicine. And also by funding the industry watchdog and direction of research to shape public opinion to not only accept but embrace his patented pharmaceuticals and thus the new direction of medicine. More recently, has been said by pharmacological industry insiders that his responsibility was to his shareholders and not to his patients. Oh, yeah. And guess what Rockefeller used for his own health ailments, and he had many, was holistic medicine. Smart man. He lived to be 97. That's all I've got.
Well, thank you, Melanie. I appreciate that. I'm going to go ahead and talk a little bit here about their influence in the Illuminati. A lot of people think that the Illuminati is a joke, doesn't really exist. Well, I'm going to give you some evidence that's going to prove otherwise. And when I go through this, please listen to who they so-called worship. First, we have the Astor family. Represent some of the wealthiest people in recent history. With their name stretching back to the 1720s, their power and wealth are reflected in the numerous important landmarks in the New York area named after them. Notable family members include many generations of John Jacob Astor, including one who perished on the Titanic. They say he was murdered for stepping out of the line of the cabal, and we will really never know. Then you have the Bundy family. That's not the same family of the guy that was eating people. This family has extensive ties to American politics and government, with several prominent members, including the Skull and Bones, Harvey Hollister Bundy, and his two sons, William and McGeorge, all had key roles in hugely important Illuminati fronts and projects. These include the Manhattan Project, the CIA, matters of national security, private law, and the Illuminati-founded Council on Foreign Relations. Then we have the Collins family. This is a secret family within the Illuminati. Little is known about their genealogy or history, but it's suspected that they wield enormous power within the cabal, with extensive connections to New England Satanists, meaning they are a key to the cabal's satanic rituals and worships. Members include Michael Collins, who was an astronaut, and actress Joan Collins. Then we have the DuPont family. This is one of the key families in American industry. The DuPont family traces its lineage back to Paris in the mid-1700s. They have massive industrial, real estate, and commercial buildings in the East, particularly Delaware. Many members have connections to Freemasonry and various Illuminati front groups like the Bilderbergs and the Trilateral Commissions. Then we have the Freeman family, is another one of the more mysterious and shadowy Illuminati bloodlines. It is said that they are heavily involved in the Priory of Sion, a French fraternal organization with a mysterious made-up history. There's also numerous Freemans involved in the self-help movement, an offshoot of New Age, which is heavily into the pockets of Satanists. Then we have the Kennedy family, an American political dynasty stretching back generations. The Kennedy name carries with it wealth, power, and privilege. Several held key positions of power in the government, including John F. Kennedy, an Illuminati-controlled president. They also have a history of getting on the wrong side of the Illuminati. Several of Joseph Kennedy's children, Joseph Jr., John, and Robert, all met tragic ends under mysterious circumstances. Their power has waned slightly in the recent years, but they are still said to hold enormous influence in the cabal. Then you have the Lee family. Lee is one of the most common last names in China, so it's hard to find reliable information about this particular bloodline. But it's thought that China will play a major role in the coming Illuminati New World Order takeover, using its vast population as shock troops and casting in the debt the country holds from the U.S. Specifically, Li Ping was the key prime minister to the Western nation of China and other Li's in China, the Hong Kong hold, vast fortunes in the real estate and manufacturing business. Then we have the Onassis family. They're the lords of the Greek shipping. Onassis represents a key European link to the ancient Illuminati rites. Onassis vessels are hugely important in the transit of cargo around the world, giving the Illuminati power over what goes and where and when. Top Onassis members, relatives of family patriarch and Jackie Kennedy's second husband, hold key positions in many Illuminati front groups. They also have connections to other wealthy families who are said to be influential Satanists. Then we have the Reynolds family. They're another one that is a secret family within the Illuminati. The Reynolds have massive holdings in tobacco through the J.R. Reynolds Company, addicting millions of Americans to powerful drugs, with the government allowing them to operate freely. As American royalty, the Reynolds family has numerous high-ranking Freemason members, with many connections with all money alleged given to the Illuminati front groups, as well as links to the occult and Satanism. If you remember, I think it was back in the 90s where they were sued by the U.S. government for something like $60 billion because it was found that the Reynolds family, through their cigarettes, mainly the Marlboro Red, it had like less than 0.01 ounces of cocaine in their filters. And that's why their cigarettes were so addictive. And they made billions upon billions of dollars selling those cigarettes. And then, like Melanie was talking, we have the Rockefeller family. And here's a statement that came out of that family right after the Federal Reserve was brought forth by our Congress. Quote, "We will keep their lives short, their minds weak, while pretending to do the opposite. We will use our knowledge of science and technology in subtle ways so that they never see what is happening. We will use soft metals, aging accelerators, and sedatives in food and water, as well as in the air. They will be covered in poisons wherever they turn. The soft metals will make them lose their minds." Now you know why they are spraying in our skies. That right there says it all. One of the most powerful families in the world, the Rockefellers, have extreme wealth and power beyond their holdings in the real estate and industry, as well as their political connections. The Rockefellers have given large amounts of money to religious organizations, which are alleged by Illuminati watchers to actually be training grounds for Satanists. They were also instrumental in forming key Illuminati front groups like the Council on Foreign Relations. When you research Illuminati conspiracies, one of the names that continues to come up over and over are the Rothschilds. The sons of Mayer, Ishmael Rothschilds, established banks in five key European countries, where they are said to have amassed enormous wealth by starting wars and selling weapons to both sides. It's alleged that even now, Rothschilds control politicians, make their decisions based on what is good for the family, but what's not good for the people. And boy, we can understand that because we live in it every day. They're into merchant banking, private banking, asset management, mergers and acquisitions, insurance, venture capital, pensions and investments, sovereign debt, and commodities. And in case you don't know, when you look at the stock market today, look under the word commodities. That is where your birth bonds are placed and sold and bought every single day. And the Rothschilds family gets about 70% of every sale. That's what they invented, and that's how they make their money. They lend to governments to finance war operations. Over several centuries, they have provided the Rothschilds family with ample opportunity to accumulate bonds and build additional wealth in a range of different industries. Before he died, Mayer Rothschilds left strict instructions for his heirs on how they should handle family finances. He wanted to keep the fortune within the family, and as such, he will outline a rapid system of succession whereby title and property could only pass through the male line, and female descendants were excluded from any direct inheritance. This had an effect in encouraging marriages among family members. So they were forcing the low-class people of the day to marry the rich people so they could never, their families of the poor could never get rich, but they could have one member who was, but she could never inherit anything. Between 1824 and 1877, there were 36 marriages of Mayer Rothschild's male descendants. Of these, 30 married within the family. Understand that. That's called incest. Most married first or second cousins. during this time, only four Rothschild women and two men married partners who they were not related to. Of the four Rothschild sons who ventured out, the third son, Nathan, 1777 to 1836, achieved the greatest success. Nathan moved to Manchester, England, and in 1798, he set up textile businesses. He later moved to London to establish himself as a banker, set up the N.M. Rothschilds in 1810. N.M. Rothschilds and Sons is still in operation today. In 2022, the bank reported $2.97 billion, with a B, in revenue and $606 million in net income, with $101.6 billion in assets under management. In 1824, Nathan Rothschilds and Moses Montefiore co-founded the Alliance Assurance Company, which today is part of the RSA Group. In 1835, Nathan secured the rights to mercury mines in Spain, gaining a virtual world monopoly on the chemical element, which is critical to refining gold and silver. This supply proved invaluable in 1852 when N.M. Rothschilds and Sons began refining gold and silver for the Bank of England and the Royal Mint. Nathan Rothschilds contributed to many areas in the Jewish community. His family later expanded these charitable efforts to other populations in Paris and London. His earliest efforts went toward the synagogue in London. This led to a foundation of United Synagogue, a group that helped streamline the causes of the smaller synagogues. Later, family members supported the development of Israel and helped construct housing and government buildings. By the 1970s, three Rothschild banks remain: the London and Paris branches and the Swiss Bank, founded by Edmund Rothschilds, 1926-1997. In 1982, President Francis Mitterrand Socialist Group dealt the Paris Bank a fatal blow, nationalizing it and renaming it Campaign Européen de Bank. The family wealth has been divided among the descendants and heirs over the years. Today, the Rothschilds holding span a number of industries, including financial services, real estate, mining, energy, and charitable work. The family also owns more than a dozen wineries throughout the world. Traditionally, the Rothschilds' fortune is invested in closely held corporations. Today, Rothschilds corporations have continued to see success. Most family members are employed by these corporations directly or are invested in operations that generate family wealth. The estate of Nathan Rothschilds was immediately tied to the other fortunes of the family and became part of the collective wealth each Rothschild passed to the next generation. Rothschild's descendants continue to finance global business operations and contribute to scholarly, humanitarian culture, and business endeavors. Estimating the net worth of the Rothschild family is difficult, as a large family and sprawling Business Insider reports that their net worth is $1 billion, while other outlets estimate the collective net worth around the world as high as $1.2 trillion. The Rothschilds Group has ownership stakes in many companies, including Total Energies, Schlumberger, Wintershall Dea, Exxon, ConocoPhillips, Chevron, Shell, and Rasper. Notice those are all oil industries. The Rothschilds and Company has many senior partners and like-minded investors who share their interest. It is the flagship of the Rothschilds Banking Group, which is controlled by the British and French banks of the family Rothschilds and Company. It is the parent company of the Rothschilds Group, which operates in financial advisory, wealth and asset management, and merchant banking activities. The Rothschilds family controls the global financial system and have accumulated their power by theft and exploitation. Their whole system is based on a gigantic fraud because there is no money, as we perceive it. The paper money and coins are backed by nothing. Their value is only the value that we can be persuaded to think they have. They are just worthless pieces of paper, a promise to pay or promissory note, and pieces of metal that are tricked into taking seriously. Most money is not even something you can hold today. It is only a figure on a computer screen. Money is brought into circulation through what is called credit. But this credit is a belief system. That's all, a belief that it does exist. The banks are not lending us anything. They are creating it, and people are paying them a fortune to do so. The bloodline families, particularly the Rothschilds, have controlled governments and banking for centuries, and they have been able to dictate the laws of the financial system and introduce what is called fraction reserve lending. This allows banks to lend at least 10 times what they have on deposit. In other words, they are lending money they don't have, then that does not exist, called credit. They are charging interest on it. When you go to the bank to borrow, say, $50,000, you have to provide collateral by signing over your house, land, car, or business. And this will go to the bank if you don't meet their repayments. The bank is giving you nothing in return for all this. It types into your account $50,000, and then that's it. The $50,000 doesn't really exist. It is a line of non-existent credit. Say you give someone a check for $20,000 out from that original $50,000 you got a loan. And the recipient deposits that $20,000 into another bank. Now, this second bank can lend 10 times the $20,000 or $200,000 to other people quite legally and charge them interest. When you follow the original $50,000 from bank to bank, the amount of the credit that is created as it circulates the banking system is absolutely fantastic. We are talking here about a single loan that was created out of thin air in the first place. Fractional reserve lending creates money out of nothing. This is how the Rothschilds has come to own governments and most of the world. Interest on money is the key thing here. If money was put into circulation interest-free, and there was no interest on money in any form, it would return to its rightful role as a unit of energy exchange that overcomes the limitations of barter. It is when you introduced interest that the trouble starts, because when you are making money from money and it no longer serves the people, it enslaves them. The bank credit interest system means that the unit of exchange for human activity comes into circulation right from the start as a debt. Governments could create their own money interest free to pay for public services, but instead they borrow it from the banking system and the population has to pay it back plus interest. It is the same with individuals and businesses. Governments don't create their own interest-free money. They are controlled by the families who also control the banks, most notably the Rothschilds. Abraham Lincoln was assassinated by the Rothschilds when he began to print interest-free money called greenbacks to fund the North in the American Civil War. The Rothschilds were funding both sides of the Civil War, as they do in all wars. They engineer it. But Lincoln eventually refused to pay their phenomenal levels of interest. The greenback system worked so well that Lincoln was considering making it the permanent means of government finance. This it was and is the worst nightmare for the Rothschilds. The Rothschilds had Lincoln assassinated by John Wilkes Booth in 1865, and the greenback policy went with him. There is another vital aspect to understanding about interest on money. When you take out a loan, the bank creates in a form of credit the amount of the loan. This sounds obvious and straightforward, except for one thing. You are not paying back only the loan. You are paying back the loan plus interest, and the interest is not created. This means that there is never even nearly enough money in circulation to pay back all the outstanding loans and interest. It is a fatal flaw with regard to human freedom, and it has been done purposely to enslave the bankruptcy and loss of property and possessions to the bank are built into this system. It is all part of the Rothschilds' energy construct that flows the wealth and energy of the people in their direction. The fantastic amount of money that people pay in taxes goes straight to the private banks to pay back interest on money that the government could create itself interest-free, but does not. Privatization is the selling of state assets in response to bank-created debt. The world's poorest countries are handed over control of their land and their resources to the Rothschilds banks when they cannot pay back the loans made specifically to insure them in this very situation. Third world debt was manufactured to replace physical occupation and resource-rich or strategically sited countries with today financial occupation. Once a country is indebted to the Rothschilds bankers with non-existent credit, it is forced to hand over control of its affairs to the banks. The World Bank and the International Monetary Fund, known as the IMF, these entities then dictate economic and social policy at every level. The World Bank and the IMF are wholly owned subsidiaries of the Rothschilds and always have their placement at the helm. Poor countries struggling to repay debt are forced to cut spending on social programs such as health. education, and humanitarian projects to pay the bank the debt they owe. The world does not have to be in poverty and conflict. It is manipulated to be that way to serve the bloodline agenda for global dictatorship. You know, the UN, a couple weeks ago, voted for the WHO, the World Health Organization, to not only control, but to own all the governments that are under it. I believe it's like 108 governments now. The United States is one of them. So the Rothschilds take their position in the United Nations and the WHO, and they control them. And now, over these last few decades, they've come to the realization that the Rothschilds can literally own every single nation. They can rule them from where they live in Europe. They can manipulate the laws. If they say there's no guns on the planet, then there's no guns on the planet. I want you to also understand one other thing. Obama. There was a night 5 days before he took office. He had a big rally in Chicago. And his biggest supporter in that time was Oprah Winfrey. And that was on TV, national televised. And Obama, up on the stage, said, in just 5 days, we can turn this country around. And he began to go to work. And Oprah was on TV crying her eyes out because she was raising her hand and pointing to Obama and singing and telling praises to him like he was a god. And it started. His vice president with Joe Biden. Unfortunately for them, the country didn't like what was going on and put Trump in office. Trump's an outsider. He's not part of the Rothschilds' agenda. He don't work for them. And what he did was bring the power of the country back to the people. And everything was working good in order of, you know, within the constitutional laws. The Rothschilds didn't like that. So they devised a way to steal the election and put Obama in, or they actually did put Obama in, but through the guise of some idiot named Joe Biden. And then they picked, he didn't pick her, they picked her as a vice president, Kamala Harris. Now, in the Marine Corps, they had a term called, you're dumber than a rock. Well, that's giving rocks a bad name when you put Kamala in with them, because she's dumber than that. If you notice, in the last couple months, she can't talk, she can't answer questions. She doesn't want to answer questions because she can't. She's doing her best to get away from the Joe Biden era because nobody will elect her. So she's lying to the people about what her agenda is. She's on record in Congress, and she's also on video where she says, we will come into your house and we will check on those weapons you got, and there's nothing you could do about it, which is against the rights that we have as humans. But you know what? Now she says she owns a gun. She owns a Glock. And she practices with it regularly. So here's the woman who owns weapons herself going to take yours away. I know on the campaign trail she says, no, she's not. She's lying to you because she's already exposed what her agenda really is. She's trying to get votes. Major groups in the country are dropping her like flies on you know what. They're learning who she is. By her lies and by her vice president pick, who's also a liar. The country can put up with people who don't tell the truth a lot, but when you start lying about your military experience, and you start lying about the American people and their weapons and their right to have them, they will drop you like crap. They don't want you in office. But you see, the reason Kamala is running is because it's all backed by the bankers, known as the Rockefellers and the Rothschilds. Now, we have an event that's going to come up shortly. I can't be here and tell you exactly when. There are people saying certain dates. Some are today are even saying this coming Tuesday it may begin. I don't know. A lot of people on Telegram say different things. But the quantum financial system will come into play. It will bring down world governments because it's going to bring down the banks. If you have a bank in a, like a local community type bank, maybe just in your county or maybe five or six counties in your state, and that's it, that's as far as it goes, they're gone. They're history. They cannot show you the assets that they have financed because they loan all that out. If you can show on paper where you've got buildings, land, and all that, and the assets that you are funding, that's not over exceeding what you have loaned out, then you're good to go. They call that a tier 1, 2, and 3 bank. If you're a 4 and a 5, that means you cannot legally show proof that your assets equal your money that you say you have. All because of what the Rothschilds did. This is like an audit. They already know who those banks are. And when they go down, the people that are have their accounts in it, it's fake money anyway. They're going too. Be careful with your bank. I don't know who all everybody banks with, but you need to make sure, you need to ask their people if they are a what they call a tier 3, 2, or 1 bank. Now, if they tell you that doesn't exist, you don't tell them this, but they're a liar. It does exist because the Rothschilds implemented this back in the 30s. It's one of the reasons why the collapse of the banking system then, called the stock exchange, went down. Because investors took money out too quickly. And there were only four or five people who did that. This would be the Warren Buffett type investor who took out millions upon millions of dollars in assets in the market and it just collapsed it. The same thing is kind of going to happen again, but in a different way. The quantum financial system will do it. So what will happen? Best as we know, what we know for sure right now, is that when this happens, the U.S. military and other militaries around the world from their own nations will start arresting people. The main Rothschilds family is in Europe, but they have people in their family scattered all over the world. So here in America, they may arrest the Rothschilds family. All the others by the national military of their own nations and take all their property, money, and assets, banks, and all the bank's assets. They will be tried by a military tribunal on charges of murdering Abraham Lincoln, John F. Kennedy, tried to assassinate 2 other presidents, Reagan and Trump. The assets in numbers on the screen that you will find at their cartel banking will be placed as numbers on your quantum account as real dollars, U.S. Treasury dollars. Now, I want everybody to know and understand this system is what is coming into play. It's coming in rapidly. And when it kicks off, what will happen is the EBS, Emergency Broadcast System, will come on your TV set, come on your computer. It will come on cell phones, and you will see 24 hours a day for at least 30 days the playing of what the world leaders have done in your country to you, to steal your money through assets, through the banking system with interest. I know myself, and I'm just going to say this, back about, what, maybe 16 years ago, I went into a credit union to apply for a loan for $1,000. That's all, just $1,000. I knew what loans were, and I knew how they were made. And what I did need it, but I was going to show my wife, Beth, how loans were made. So I went in there and talked to the lady, and we discussed things, and she printed out the paperwork. She signed hers, and I signed mine, and I took mine home, and I had a copy of hers with mine. And when I got home, I noticed something. A contract in the corporate system requires two signatures. What she filled out on her page was how many months I have to pay it back, what I pay per month, but no signature on hers. I signed mine. She did not sign hers. So about a year or so later, I get a letter from some collection agency who wants to take me to court. So I go down to this lady at the credit union, and I asked her, in law, does it not take two signatures to make a contract legal? She said, yes, it does. And I said, good. Well, you're trying to take me to court, and what you did here was you did not sign your paper, your copy of this, and therefore there is no two signatures, just mine. And now you're trying to take me to court on charges of fraud when it's you that committed the fraud. You better drop it, or I'm going to countersue, and I'll take this bank over. It's exactly what I told her. I never heard another word because they know I had her. So you can't do that all the time under certain circumstances. I wouldn't advise doing it because they have since fixed that problem on their end. And I'll just say this. If you join groups hoping that they're going to take care of your mortgage and things like that, every single month, those judges out there in the county and the state level, they have a conference call, and they talk about what somebody tried was successful, and they find ways to stop it. So it may work for a couple of days, but I'll assure you that those judges talk to each other, and if you went in the next month, it wouldn't work. They found a way to get around it and convict you. Judges, on the other hand, are not allowed to make judgments on the bench unless the individual, the defendant, asks for that to take place. You would have to be a stupid idiot to have one man who's against you to begin with to make up his mind on whether you're guilty or innocent. Because he's going to find you guilty every time. It means more money for him. Do you realize that judges in the courts, they make 20% of all fines? It makes them happier when everybody is found guilty. They make more money. They're tax courts operated by the Rothschilds, funded by the Rothschilds, created for the Rothschilds. They have at least 12 courts that are called tax courts in Indiana. There's like three in each district. The district for the courts. Those judges get the equal amount of tax credit. So if you owe $10,000 to the IRS and you convict him as a judge, the IRS not only gets that $10,000, but they will pay the judge $20,000 for winning the case. Why $20,000? Because the money's worth nothing. It's out of thin air. It's buying power for you in that system. Now you know why the BRICS nations and other nations are dropping the Federal Reserve note quicker than anything. It used to be the number one money used for oil trading. Every nation in the world has dumped the U.S. dollar for oil trading. The Federal Reserve is limping on one leg. And the other, about a month ago, they lowered the rates down to, 3% on loans and interest. They're hurting. The quantum system is going to bankrupt them to the point to where they cannot operate. And listen to this. It's not something that will come into play and take years to take place. Once they turn that system on to the world and it's in full operation, their money system, the Federal Reserve, is dead completely. And there will be no more Federal Reserve. That's the plan. Last Sunday, a week ago today, Gus Sarah with the G was initiated. Today was supposed to be the day that Nusara, just the United States, is initiated. I haven't found out or heard anything yet, but when that happens worldwide and then in this nation, you know that you're about to be able to go and exchange your foreign currency. You know that the Federal Reserve is about to die in your face. And you know that the U.S. military is going to initiate the EBS system and go find these people and hold them to a military tribunal. Now, I want you to know, the way the military works this, we have military bases all over the country. So they can go arrest somebody in the New England area, and they'll go to Boston at the naval base in Boston, and they will charge and try them there. It's still a military tribunal. They may wind up down in Gitmo, but they don't have to be tried there, all of them. So this is what we can expect. It's coming up. It's coming quickly. And we as a people need to get prepared and get ready for it. Because when this happens, our world is about to change much, much better for the good. So that's all I have. I want to thank everybody for coming on and talking. I want to say again congratulations to Steve for being sworn in. It's always an honor and a privilege to swear somebody into the Republic. So, Mark, if you would turn off the recording, we can have some questions.
Yes, sir.